Yo, it is about that time. The annual Spring-a-Ling sale at SleevesSoldSeparately.com, our men's athleisure line manufactured in downtown LA. We got some of the best fits and fabrics in the game. Short shorts, longer shorts, joggers, hoodies, tank tops, lots of great stuff available. 30% off of all in-stock items. We're coming into summer here, okay? You got to look good. You got to look right. You put all the work in the gym. Get the right fits to highlight them gains. Go to SleevesSoldSeparately.com today. Again, 30% off all in-stock items. Our annual Spring-a-Ling sale. Hope you guys enjoy the gear. Let's have a great summer together. Hope you enjoyed this episode. Yo, BJ Gador with the BJ Gador Podcast. And in today's quicker episode, we're talking heat, Miami heat, culture, specifically the conditioning and the accountability that's built into the way the team approaches their strength and conditioning practice, overall competitive approach. Now, if you're new to the show, again, I'm BJ Gador, former fitness director for the Men's Health brand and author of Your Body is Your Barbell. Also, my brand new book, The Ultimate Push-Up Guide, available as a Kindle or paperback on Amazon. Definitely want to check that out, getting great feedback on the new training manual. If you want to elevate your push-up game, grow your chest, chisel your core, and get next-level upper body strength with the Anytime Anywhere exercise with unlimited variations and progressions, that is the push-up, I highly recommend it. Now, look, if you're not a basketball fan, you could say, well, this is a stupid episode. It's not, because what ultimately is so appealing to me about the way the Miami Heat approach their conditioning as a team is how it kind of transcends into the way I look at fitness, the way I look at even business, overall lifestyle. Now, those listening at the time of recording this, the NBA Finals have just finished. Denver did a gentleman's sweep, basically beating the Miami Heat in five games. And, you know, look, the reality is Denver was on paper a way better team, taller, longer, more complete. Those guys have been together for a while now, and they have, you know, arguably the best player in the game in Nikola Jokic. And the Heat did the best they could. You know, they were the first eighth seed to make it to the finals, I believe, since 1999. They lost their first play-in game and barely won the second play-in game to even make the playoffs in the first place. Nine undrafted players round out their roster. They have maybe one superstar, you could say, in Jimmy Butler. Other than that, a lot of role players, kind of 3-and-D shooters. But they have, in my opinion, the best coach in the game in Eric Spoelstra. He's been doing it for 17 years, started in the film room, worked his way all the way up into the head coaching position a couple of years before the Heatles, or, you know, the big three that was LeBron James, Chris Bosh, and D. Wade. And Pat Riley has been with the organization first as a coach, then now is kind of a GM slash, he feels like the owner, you know, since the mid-90s. So I kind of consider them to be the Lakers East. You know, Pat Riley was the coacher in the Showtime era of the Lakers, coached some incredible teams in the mid-90s, going up against Michael Jordan with the Knicks, and has been with the Heat since. And again, like I said, you don't have to be a basketball fan to appreciate what they accomplished this past season. And, you know, they're known to have the most grueling test in their preseason. Essentially what it is, I got it right here as well, you got to measure out the 94 feet, or if you have a full-length basketball court, you run 10 lengths. So up and down is two lengths. So basically five times up and back. Wind sprints, and then you're basically supposed to get it done in 60 seconds or 62 seconds for big men, and then you rest 2 minutes, and you do it five more times. Look, man, we used to do it. It's actually, it comes to be 10 lengths of the court is 940 feet, which is pretty much, it's pretty close to 300 yards. Now, when I played football, we used to do the 300-yard shuttle. And, you know, and that was basically 25-yard segments up and back six times. And, you know, a good score would be a minute or less. You'd have a couple minutes to recover, and you'd run it one more time. And then basically your score was the average of the two. And what was so crazy about that is people would sometimes they'd run like a really good first run, like they get like a minute or less, and then they would run the second one, and they, some people couldn't finish, or they, you know, they throw up, or it would be like sometimes 90 plus seconds. The drop off, the recovery was so bad. So it just, it really informed a lot about your overall aerobic and anaerobic conditioning. It's an exhausting test. I would equate it to running a 400 meter race on a track, except more challenging because of the stop and the start. That acceleration, deceleration demand, that change of direction demand makes it much more taxing on the joints, also metabolically, cardiometabolically. And I kind of prided myself in being able to do that, especially as a lineman, in under a minute. And but like we only had to do it twice. And again, it was the most miserable thing. Everyone hated it. And again, a lot of guys would throw up. It really was a test of your cardio, but also your mental. I mean, to just kind of stay in the game with that. But, you know, to do it five times like this and to have it be under a minute, wow. Just, I mean, that is so tough. I mean, you can try doing it yourself. And also considering, too, you know, these guys are, you know, larger, taller individuals. Yeah, you can cover more ground, longer stride. But, you know, typically closer to 200 pounds or heavier. Not easy to do this type of stuff when you have a lot of body mass. But that test is incredible, you know. And, you know, the other side of it, too, is they have weekly or like multiple times a week body fat / body weight measurements. Like, I guess you have to be 9 to 10% body fat or less to play. And they kind of assess for you what is an ideal playing weight. And they keep you accountable to it throughout the season. This is not a normal thing. You know, like, you know, you could call it militaristic, kind of obsessive or over the top, but it's part of the reason, if you look at how Miami has been, I think it's been, they've been to 7 finals in the Eric Spoelstra era. You know, they obviously won 2 in, I believe, 2012, 2013, with the big three that I previously mentioned. But, you know, they're always competitive, and they always find a way to stay relevant, even when they're not necessarily having, you know, multiple superstars in their team. Again, undrafted players, they find a way to really just, they get guys with a competitive edge that are willing to embrace this type of like culture. This is a culture. This is, I guess, what they mean by the culture. This is intense. The accountability built into this, like year round, to be 9 to 10% body fat or less. Yeah, a lot of these guys are genetically gifted. You know, they're playing, you know, multiple hour basketball games, combined with good genetics and being younger. In your 20s in particular, you could say, oh, that's easy. It's not. It's not easy. I don't know what my actual body fat percent is year-round. I'm guessing 10 to 12%. I can get maybe a little bit leaner at times, but, you know, just like walking around, normal, healthy lifestyle, 9 to 10% or less is really difficult. Like 5 to 6% is absolutely shredded. Like we're talking, in most cases, what you see with a bodybuilder on stage tends to not be the healthiest or most competitive weight for most people in athletics, where there aren't aesthetics involved, because, you know, you're kind of like very low energy and, you know, almost too lean in some cases. But 9 to 10% as a body fat percent standard to play, to be on the team, just to get playing time, is pretty incredible. And again, it's not common. So, you know, what does that crazy level of conditioning and accountability produce? You know, they were able to steal a game against Denver. The Lakers weren't even able to do that, you know, with multiple superstars and you know, a more complete team, you could say. So it was just very impressive. And again, you know, they've done this not just this year, but multiple times. Like the 2020 NBA bubble, when during the pandemic, there was actually the same 4 teams. And the final 4 this year in the NBA 2023 was the same as in 2020. And it's not surprising because these teams are just mentally tough. You know, like the Heat actually, you know, they kind of thrived in the NBA bubble. They knocked off the Bucks with Giannis and that incredible team. And make no mistake, a big part of that was this conditioning foundation, the mental strength required to be this lean, to be this conditioned year round, I haven't weighed myself in years. The first time I weighed myself, the last time I weighed myself, I didn't weigh myself. It was an annual checkup that I hadn't done in a couple of years since the pandemic. And, but like, you know, to have it happen at least once a week in body fat testing, like that can fuck with your mind. That's part of why I don't personally own a scale because many of you can relate to this. It used to really just drive me crazy. I get obsessive about it. And just the natural fluctuations with water weight, the way you ate on any given day, it can go 2 to 5+ pounds sometimes. And women know this in particular because of the menstrual cycle and what that can do. It's a mind fuck. You know what I'm saying? Like, you got to be a certain type of cat to be comfortable enough to do this on this type of basis. Now, it's forced upon them, but, you know, it's made well known to them in advance of coming to the team. Can you handle this culture? You know, a guy like Shaquille O'Neal, who is notorious for taking it easy on the offseason and just kind of using the regular season to kind of play in shape. He only lasted a couple years in Miami with those types of rigid protocols. And, that was his only Achilles heel was conditioning. He just couldn't keep his body weight in check and it just wore the fuck out of his body. Now, that's the piece of this for people listening is like the benefit of keeping yourself. I'm not saying 9% or less. Again, these are world-class competitive athletes that make millions of dollars where their body is everything to their livelihood. Now, if you're a trainer or coach listening, in a lot of cases, you know, we offer more than our bodies and our conditioning levels. At least if you want to do this, you know, you should be able to be a good coach, a good writer of programming, designer of programming, all that stuff. But, you know, ultimately, if we look at the tradition within fitness as your body is your business card, you know, the leaner you are, it makes you more appealing. You know, if you judge a book by its cover, they're more likely to read your book if the cover is more appealing, right? It shows that you live it, you walk the walk, you talk the talk, you know what it takes. And, you know, at the same time, it's tough. Like I said, especially if you used to be overweight, if you've had an issue with food, you know, if you don't really naturally enjoy exercise and it takes a lot of effort for you to be consistent with exercise and diet, man, I just don't think people really appreciate how rigid these standards are. But when you think about how resilient you can become under these standards, like again, in some cases they have players would come out and they don't pass the test. And then, so if you pass the test, you kind of just proceed to normal preseason protocols. If you don't pass the test, you got to do additional conditioning to get up to those standards. And a lot of guys who maybe were kind of not maximizing their career, their potential, if they can get through this process, they find themselves on the other side and really, you know, have like amazing careers in that system. So, you know, I wanted to share it and talk about it because I've been a fan of the Miami Heat ever since. Many of you know, I'm currently a Lakers fan. We actually just did a great episode, if you haven't listened to it yet, with Trevor Lane of the Lakers Nation podcast, talking about, you know, the season this year, off season, that type of stuff. I think you'll enjoy it, especially if you're a Lakers fan, but just a basketball fan in general. But, you know, I became a Lakers fan when LeBron came to the team, which was a month after I moved to California. And again, I get all the coverage. And for me to follow a team, I like to be able to see everything, right? Summer league, preseason, you know, all the regular season games, and just get connected with the team. And to me, it's the best thing. So, but as a LeBron fan, I followed him from Cleveland to the Heat to Cleveland and then to LA. But during those Heat years in particular, when he was in his prime, and, you know, they there was the whole, like, you know, taking my talents to South Beach decision, the infamous decision that, like, still people won't forgive him for, that think he as a drama queen or whatever else because of it, whatever they call him. You know, they had so much hate on that team, and they got to the finals, you know, all 4 years of that run, only won two championships, lost the first one, even though they should have won, heavily favored it, because they did kind of choke in the finals. The pressure and all that stuff got to them. But I was a Heat fan at the time. I love Miami. I love the South Beach vibes. You know, that's a place I always thought of wanting to get to at some point. I just like the vibes. And again, I really appreciated the culture of the team. They were fast. They were conditioned. They were nonstop. They were up and down the court. You know, it was just, it was beautiful basketball. And it peaked in year two and three of that four-year experiment. And I kind of consider them to be like, you know, my second team, if you will. Like, I don't get heavily invested as I do with the Lakers, but, you know, I wanted them to be Denver, but it was still for me a stress, anxiety-free finals. And one thing to that credit, too, you know, Nikola Jokic, he was kind of the stuff people say about him in the media, calling him a fat tub. Stephen A. Smith calls him a fat tub of lard or fat boy. and he's not like he's not the physical specimen that you see a lot of times in professional sports. Okay. But he's lean. He's actually one of the most conditioned guys on the floor. I think honestly, something stood out when they played the Lakers, like I think Jokic was in better condition than AD was. Now Jokic was also healthy. AD was dealing with a stress fracture. And AD is asked to do a lot more defensively that will just exhaust you on the court, flying up and down. He hits the ground 20 times a game, having to play a perimeter defense and then protect the paint. They ask a lot of him, so you know it's tough. But Jokic is like low-key one of the most conditioned guys in the game. And you know, he plays in Denver with that altitude, which is like makes your legs heavy and just gasses you quick. That's obviously, I think, a competitive advantage for them that people know about but don't really appreciate. But, man, I guess ultimately, this is just me jumping in, sharing an interest with you. And, you know, again, I look for motivation anytime I can. I know how tough it is to stay lean year-round. I know how tough it is to maintain conditioning. This level of conditioning is just incredible. And it really makes you appreciate, like, what resilience and then mental fortitude you get when you're physically locked in. And that's why, again, if you're not even a basketball fan or a sports fan even, like what I'm trying to share with you is if you're looking for reasons for why to do what you do day in, day out, to get your mobility work in, to have a plan for your meals, you know, and get healthy groceries that support your goals so you don't make bad choices when you're hungry or short on time. You know, to get the right amount of sleep, to do your recovery work, you know, to get your workouts in 3 times a week like we have at thedailybj.com. Yeah, it's only 20 minutes, but, you know, they're not easy. And a lot of you are doing it before work or after work. And, you know, you got so much shit on your plate. And it's very easy to make excuses. And I share this because these are professional athletes making millions of dollars. And there are people that can't pass these tests. There are people that won't play for this team because of these rigid standards. And this isn't your life. You're a busy parent or professional. And shout out to the members of the dailybj.com, our Gorilla Corn Gains members in particular, who take on, you know, some more advanced protocols. Many who are, you know, over 30, over 40, and have nothing but excuses. But I also know a lot of you through my various interactions. I FaceTime with a handful of you, helping you with various movements and stuff like that. And I just appreciate the commitment because I do this for a living and it's really tough for me. I got to constantly kind of motivate myself, talk to myself to stay in the game. And, you know, watching the Miami Heat motivates me. It reminds me of the importance of just accountability, not just within my own workouts, but also, you know, when you look at that, when you have numbers, you look at it on a regular basis. Like when our business is going good, we're at least looking at the numbers on a weekly basis. When we lose focus and we kind of start to coast a bit and we're not looking at the numbers as much, the numbers slip. And then we have to have like the quote unquote come to Jesus moment where we look at the numbers again, get depressed, upset, but then remotivate ourselves and commit to the process. And again, these ebbs and flows of motivation happen in and out of the gym. But the point of this episode is really just to, you know, get the conversation going in your head. If you've been struggling or you got off track recently, again, this just know this happens. This happens to the best of us. And this can happen to people who excel in one realm but aren't able to carry it over to the other. And that's natural. That's life. That's the human condition. But having some built-in accountability standards, again, what I tell people at dailybj.com, like, are 3-20-52, three full body workouts a week, 20 minutes each, 52 weeks of the year. That is kind of more of a compliance accountability standard. You know, but if you know yourself and you know that you need, like, if that alone isn't working for you, well, maybe you need to actually get into some actual numbers. Now, what could that be? If you have a healthy relationship with your scale and the body weight, and again, you just know, like, right now, let's say you're 210, and you look and feel your best at 200. And by the way, that's part of why 9-10%, because any extra body fat you're carrying that isn't, you know, like I said, you don't need to be fucking 5%, you know, shredded on stage wearing a Speedo to be competitive athletically. But if you're carrying like 5-10 plus extra pounds of body fat, it's going to just break your body down with high impact repetitive activities. If not like big injuries, but at least chronic, like what, tendonitis, stress fractures, you know, or just, you know, chronic joint pain that just progressively limits you because things are hurting. So you can't train as much, but then because you can't train as much, you're losing strength, power, conditioning, speed, and you're less effective on the court or the floor, whatever activities you participate in. It's just this like vicious cycle of being in pain, not being able to train, and getting out of shape more. And then also being in more pain because you're not as conditioned. So it's just, it's kind of rough. But maybe you need to find an appropriate interval for you that is mentally safe to keep yourself accountable with your body weight. Now, body fat percent, you know, I'm not a, I don't really have a, I know there's a lot of good scales right now that seem to tell you what that is, but I'm not sure if that is, you know, something that, you know, is accurate. I guess the biggest thing is as long as you're using the same thing, it's consistent. It's a consistent standard you can use. And then if you know the way you look and feel, and it, let's say on your scale or whatever you're using to track your body fat, it's 15%. Well, that just is a standard for you. And then when you deviate from it, you know, okay, I got to pull things back. But if you don't check it regularly enough, as can happen, like let's say you take 3 months and then things kind of get away from you. Now we're talking about you're at 20% body fat. Well, that's a lot of body fat to lose, you know? And I'm using the body fat as an example, but this could also be, you know, an accountability from a performance standpoint. You don't have to do the heat standard, but if conditioning is important to you, this is an incredible conditioning test. And by the way, you could apply this in terms of just a timing sequence, right? You know, if you don't want to actually make it running or you don't want to be on a basketball court, you could just measure out that distance on a field or court of your choosing. You could also just say, okay, if the goal is like a maximum effort or output in a minute, 2 minute breaks 5 times, what that looks like, that could be on an assault bike or any sort of like Airdyne fan bike. That could be on any sort of cardiovascular machine that allows you to safely push the output, and like you can see how many calories you burn in that allotted time. You know, that might give you a standard conditioning standard to work with. Maybe it's how many pushups you can do. You know, and you test that monthly. And if that number is not, if it's going down, well, that tells you you could be losing strength, or maybe it was just a bad test, and or, you know, it's a bodyweight exercise. So maybe you've gained some weight. And, you know, that's why I've always loved bodyweight performance standards over anything else, because, and the pull-up is probably the best option because, again, your full body weight's involved and it's so sensitive. Like, you gain a couple pounds and your pull-up performance can get thrown off. It's crazy that way. So, you know, that's why I always like to do, you know, I'm always on the bar, at least hanging, even during stretches of time where I may not be doing as many pull-ups, but the pull-up to me really helps me stay accountable with my body weight and my overall strength in to me, an objective manner. But I want you to just think about if you're struggling to be consistent with whether it's your business or your fitness or whatever it's important to you, you know, what type of accountability standards can you put in place for yourself that actually give you a number that you can, you know, you can test and assess on whether a weekly, bi-weekly, or at least a monthly basis to keep you in check or accountable. Now, my current content flow for the dailybj.com, I have to make 9 new joint instructional and follow-along workouts per month as part of our Express and Gorilla Corn Gains combined. And, you know, so the way I have it currently set up is we film 3 of those 9 each week, and I do them shirtless. So at least the follow-along component. So for me, that's every week I have to, like, I'm not saying, look, I'm not in peak condition, but I if I know I'm going to have to take my shirt off on a mostly weekly basis, it definitely informs my decisions and it affects my behavior and my choices. You know, I try to, you know, really lock in the diet and get enough movement in on a regular basis leading up until that shoot. And then typically after the shirtless content, I'll reward myself with some treats. And then because the next day I'll tend to shoot instructional content after I give myself some more calories and stuff, because I just have more energy. I'm able to talk and motivate more, if you will. And you know, I can have clothes on, so I don't have to worry about, you know, looking my best, so to speak. But, you know, that is built in accountability. When I go through periods of time where I don't have to film, especially if I don't have to film with shirtless stuff, I tend to be a little bit looser with my diet. In particular, in general, maybe I'm not hitting the workouts as hard or whatever else, but it really is like diet in particular. And again, that's what kills a lot of these guys, competitively, if they, you know, have gotten, you know, great genetics and it's gotten them to where they get into the league, you know, there may not be that work ethic or discipline needed because, yeah, everything's possible in your teens. You can, in some cases, if you're athletic and active, you can do whatever you want. But, you know, as soon as mid-20s, things can start to slow down for you. And then your dietary choices can really throw things off. And in most cases, there's been, you know, not most cases, but a lot of cases, there have been people with incredible potential that just, they find themselves out of the league because of their inability to manage their diet and keep their body weights down. And again, I think one of the key drivers of longevity is minimizing your body weight. You know what I mean? Like, I know everybody, when they're younger, wants to get jacked and huge, typically if you're a guy, but, you know, that's hard to maintain. It's costly, not just from a time standpoint, but from a monetary standpoint, the amount of food you have to eat, protein in particular. And, you know, it's, even if it's good quality muscle mass, it's mass. You know, mass tends to make you tighter. And again, it wears you down more. It does. It just does. And you need more calories to maintain it. And it often requires an amount of training that isn't reasonable for the average busy parent or professional over 30, over 40. So, you know, this was kind of a unstructured rant, but I wanted to just kind of share that with you. I just, you know, think about what, again, I don't want someone who is not mentally ready. There's times in my life where the scale was the last thing I needed to look at. So maybe it's clothes. You, every week you try on a particular outfit that you, you know, when you are in peak condition for you, you know, you look good in it, and it starts to feel a little bit tight on you, that tells you to hold the brakes. If a number is a problem for you and it's going to cause obsessive compulsive behavior, excessive anxiety, I don't want that. But I also want you to consider, as I have to sometimes, and check myself, okay, I might need to sharpen the sword here and just, you know, I don't necessarily want to do this, but I know if I commit to this, much like these players who have to go through this rigorous conditioning and accountability protocols, to just play, okay? To just play. How can you apply that to what you do to help you put yourself in the best position to have success? Not only to encourage better habits, but to discourage the bad habits, right? filming myself shirtless weekly, which I'm not saying you do, but that discourages bad eating habits, encourages good eating habits and good activity levels, you know, and maybe it is weighing yourself or having a scale that measures both your body weight and body fat, and that might help you. And you know, I would say at least on a monthly interval. Weekly is, it can be a bit too much, and weekly also there are weekly fluctuations for most people, particularly women. I'd recommend for women, like, you know, probably you want to do it after the menstrual cycle when things clear for you, and just make that a consistent measurement. I think for men, you know, that maybe they are more likely to do it either every 2 weeks or weekly, and it just kind of keeps you in the game. Like, but it's not for everyone, you know. But it seems to really drive people to maximize what they've got, reach their potential, you know, find that ceiling for them, whether it be in and out of the gym. And again, I mentioned this too, because, you know, I've gone through bouts of this within the business where, you know, maybe things aren't going as well as I would like. And I don't want to see the numbers because, you know, it feels like it just discourages you. But ultimately, you know, if you run a business, you got to be accountable to the numbers, you know, because at some point you can keep kicking the can down the road. It just makes it that much harder if it takes a month, two, or even 3+ months for you to kind of look at them and then, oh, wow, you know, like I could have made these changes sooner and now I've got more work to do to kind of recommit to the process and the habits. So, you know, I think what ultimately I take away from, like, because you've been hearing a lot, if you follow basketball or sports in general, the heat culture and what that means. But, you know, they also, by the way, they have to take photos before, during, and after the season to document their weight progress too. So they're getting photos taken, and some of these players too that like come to the Heat in free agency, they share their before and afters, and they just like, they look so much more lean and conditioned. And when, you know, the quote, fatigue makes cowards of us all, and conditioning is not just a physical thing, it's also a mental thing. And so I just wanted to share this with you, and maybe, you know, Google or watch some videos on heat culture and just this type of stuff you want to learn more. But, you know, when you see a team like that compete against, like, it really was a David versus Goliath type of situation. Again, they had a winning season, a championship season in my mind before they even reached the finals. The number of, like, that an eighth seed making the finals, almost being eliminated in the play-in, 9 undrafted players. So what I'm trying to say is, even if you don't have the best starting point, the best genetics, the most resources, you know, setting up for you a conditioning for your mind and body, and having some built-in accountability that you can measure and track on an appropriate interval for your mental health, it really can help you stay in the game. And also what tends to happen too, you hear this, like, there's this fear of joining the team, and then they join it, and then you get into this and you see, oh, I'm putting my best out there. And there's this accountability, not only within the individual, but also the team, your teammates. If you are part of a business and you have coworkers, like, you know, a commitment to the process, you kind of fall, it makes you more likely to fall in love with the process. And, you know, it just is what it is. This is what's required to be excellent. It's just a commitment to excellence, because no one wants to do this type of dirty work. They want to just rely on their natural abilities or skills they've already learned. They don't want it to be too hard on themselves. But anyway, food for thought. Hope you guys enjoyed this episode. You know, I'm just trying things out here. I'm just sharing. You know, to me, this is motivating. Maybe it's not for you, but I'm constantly trying to find ways to sharpen the sword. And, you know, maybe I need to get myself one of those fit scales, you know, measure my body weight and body fat to kind of keep myself more accountable. I don't know. Again, I just, seeing this made me think, you know, I've got to be better with numbers in my business. I might have to be better also with numbers with my fitness. Hope you guys enjoyed this. A 5-star rating and review is much appreciated. Helps us get to more good people like you. I've got some great guests on the way and more podcasts coming. Going to try to really get the frequency out here. And just want to keep the conversation going with you guys and keep you moving in the right direction. And I definitely recommend you check out the Ultimate Push-Up Guide. Again, we talk about accountability. You know, you can measure your body fat, your body weight, but again, moves like the pull-up and the push-up in this case, you know, focusing on a bodyweight movement and trying to make progress with it and tracking your performance on it, it's directly correlated to your body weight, your body fat percent. It can keep you going in the right direction. It'll help inform you making better dietary choices. It'll make you less likely to skip workouts when you have a goal in place. So, you know, focus on your conditioning, both in and outside the gym, and then find a way to do some built-in accountability to what you do that, you know, again, at the same time too, like, I don't want you to be soft either, right? We can't not look at numbers because, oh, this might make us feel bad. We have to be willing to take a hard look at some things that might not give us, might not make us feel good initially, but in the long game, it's helping us move in the right direction. If we fail forward, and it gives us markers with which to stay in the game and stay consistent and stay disciplined. That is really the key. Consistency and discipline in and out of the gym is how you accomplish great things over time. Love you guys. Peace.